All right, so we're diving deep today.
Yeah, deep dive.
You know how this works.
You send us the sources.
You guys want to learn about something.
We dig into it.
But we want to make it...
especially for you.
Tailored to you guys here in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, Texas.
Think and act locally.
Right, that's what we're all about. Mm. How do we make our lives better right here at home? Mm. How do we make our community better? How do we improve things? Just starting right where we are.
And I think a lot of people, you know, they're busy. They want that information quickly, but they also want it to be thorough, right?
Yeah, they don't want to just get the surface level stuff. They want to know the interesting things, the really in-depth stuff, but they don't have time to read, you know, a whole book on the subject.
Exactly. So how can we find those surprising facts, the actionable steps, without, you know, making you feel overwhelmed?
Right. And I think today's deep dive is a great example of that. Yeah. We're going to be talking about resilience, community building, things that I know are really relevant to a lot of you guys.
Yeah. And our source for this is really unique. It's a recording of Joel Salatin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this is from a talk he gave at the very first Exit and Build Land Summit back in November 2021.
And for folks who don't know who Joel Salatin is, he's pretty well known in the world of regenerative agriculture.
Absolutely. He's kind of a legend in that world.
Yeah. And he's really interesting because he doesn't just talk about, you know, farming techniques. He talks about building community. He talks about resilient local economies.
He owns Polyface Farm in Virginia.
Right.
Which a lot of people consider an intentional community.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got these really innovative approaches to land management and business.
And I think one of the reasons he resonates with so many people is that, you know, he really speaks to that desire for more freedom and self-reliance.
Right. And especially for folks who are looking to kind of disentangle themselves from, you know, the big systems.
Yeah. And it's important to remember, too, that this specific talk that we're looking at, it wasn't ever released publicly.
Right. This is from that Exit and Build Land Summit.
Yeah. Exactly. And as the name suggests, you know, that event was all about helping people transition away from city life, acquire land, and build those strong communities in a more rural setting.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Even though, you know, Joel Salatin's world might seem pretty different from, you know, life here in Southeast Houston, the ideas he talks about are surprisingly relevant.
Absolutely.
And building resilience, you know, the importance of community taking action at the local level. Those are all things that we talk about all the time on Think and Act Locally.
Right. And they apply whether you're on a farm or in a suburb or in a city.
Exactly. So let's dive into some of the things that Salatin brought up in his talk.
Okay, so he starts off by observing that we're living in unsettled times.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to that.
Right. I mean, just look at what's been happening even in our own community here in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of change.
And I think he really picked up on something there because he talked about this, you know, almost a tsunami of interest in people wanting to disentangle from the system.
Right, from those big complex systems that we all rely on.
Food, energy, healthcare, you name it.
Exactly. People are starting to think about how to become more independent, more self-sufficient.
And I thought this was really fascinating. He mentioned that there's been a huge shift from focusing on efficiency to focusing on resilience.
Yeah.
And he even said that someone tracked how often those words were used in the British House of Parliament. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it? The use of efficiency has gone way down while the use of resilience has doubled.
Wow.
Yeah. So that tells you something about how our thinking is changing, right?
It really does.
Like, it's not just about doing things as quickly or cheaply as possible anymore. It's about being able to weather the storm.
Right. Having that stability, being prepared for whatever comes your way.
Exactly. And, you know, we live on the Gulf Coast. We're no strangers to storms.
Right.
And I think about our local economy, too. You know, so much of it is tied to the energy sector.
Which can be volatile.
Oh, for sure. So if we're really starting to prioritize resilience over just efficiency, how does that practically change how we think about our infrastructure and our resource planning?
Well, I think it suggests that we need to be looking at more distributed, more localized systems for our essential needs.
Oh, okay.
So instead of just relying on those big centralized systems for everything, you know, think about things like community solar projects, local food networks, neighborhood support systems. It's about building in redundancies and backup plans at the local level.
I like that. Building in those redundancies. That's smart.
Yeah. So that if one system goes down, you've got something else to fall back on.
Right. And that kind of ties into what he was saying about this shift away from hyper-globalization towards localization.
Absolutely.
It's about bringing production back to the local level, creating those parallel systems for the things we need most.
Right. So we're not so reliant on those long, fragile supply chains.
Exactly. And, when he talked about the options we have for building this more resilient world, he kind of boiled it down to two main paths. You can try to become this super self-sufficient individual, or you can focus on building strong community ties.
Interesting.
And what's really interesting is that he pointed out that even though those two approaches seem like opposites, they actually share a key characteristic.
With that.
Neither one of them can be done quickly.
Right.
If you're trying to become truly self-sufficient, you've got to learn a huge range of skills, you
Yeah,
know?
got to be able to do everything yourself.
Exactly. And that takes a lot of time and dedication.
And on the other hand, building a strong community, that takes time too,
Oh, yeah.
to cultivate trust and relationships.
Right. It's not something that happens overnight.
Exactly.
And he observed something really interesting. He said that, especially among the women he spoke to, there was a strong preference for building community.
Over trying to go it alone.
Exactly.
That makes sense. I think there's a recognition that we're stronger together.
Yeah, and it's not about isolating ourselves, right? It's about creating these pockets of stability, these havens of mutual support within our communities, so that when things feel uncertain outside of our local area, we know that we've got each other's backs.
Right, and that's a really powerful thing.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what Think and Act Locally is all about. It's about
Yeah.
building something positive and resilient right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Yeah.
So he then poses this really intriguing question about how those of us who are seeking this different way of life, how can we not just survive these challenging times, but actually thrive?
Right. How can we create that flourishing remnant, as he calls it?
And that's a question that I think is really important for us to consider here in our community.
Absolutely.
So how do we create that thriving remnant right here in Southeast Houston?
Well, one thing he pointed out was this huge increase in the price of smaller pieces of land,
Oh,
as
yeah.
more and more people are looking for these smaller homesteads, almost like little agrarian bunkers.
Like those little safe havens.
Right.
It's interesting to see that people are literally putting their money where their mouth is on this idea of self-sufficiency.
Yeah, they're looking for that tangible security.
Exactly.
And then he gives this really blunt definition of what he calls wheels falling off.
Okay, I'm
He
curious.
says it's losing access to power, fuel, and grain.
Wow.
Yeah, so that might sound pretty extreme,
Yeah, a little bit.
but it really highlights the fundamental things that we all rely on
Okay.
and the importance of having some local alternatives or some local buffers.
Right. So it's not necessarily about preparing for, some kind of doomsday scenario, but
Yeah.
it's about thinking about those core needs and how we can make sure that we can meet them, even if the larger systems around us are disrupted.
Exactly. And his overall strategy is about aiming to be the most resilient person or the most resilient community in your local area.
That's a good goal.
Right. So by being the last one standing, so to speak, you're in a position to innovate and help find solutions.
That makes sense.
And think about it.
Yeah.
If we have strong local initiatives here in Southeast Houston,
Right.
those could become really vital if those larger systems ever face difficulties. So he then gets into some practical things to consider for building this resilience.
Okay, this is where the rubber meets the road, right?
Exactly. He calls it building an agrarian bulwark.
Oh, okay.
But I think we can adapt these ideas to building a strong local community here, even if we're not all farmers.
Right, make it relevant to our life.
Exactly.
I like that.
So the first thing he emphasizes is location and the resources you already have.
Okay.
So he says, look at what you're already connected to. Family, the skills and knowledge that exist in your local network, friends, your broader community ties.
So it's not necessarily about going out and finding something brand new. It's
Oh,
about tapping into what's already there.
exactly.
That's great.
And he also points out the importance of infrastructure.
Okay.
So having access to things like local hardware stores, local suppliers.
Oh, that's crucial.
Yeah, think beyond just the land itself and think about all the supporting elements that you're going to need.
Right, all those practical things.
Exactly.
And that makes a lot of sense for us here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
We might not all have big properties or farms,
Right.
but we do have existing social connections. We have local businesses. We have community groups.
Absolutely. Those are our local resources.
Exactly. So we can start there.
Yeah. And for anyone who's thinking about starting a local business or participating in a local exchange, he points out the advantage of being near an urban center.
Which we definitely are.
Right. We've got Houston right on our doorstep, and
Exactly.
that provides so many market opportunities
Oh, yeah.
for locally produced goods and services.
Absolutely.
And, he's a big advocate for supporting local businesses.
Which is something we talk about all the time.
Absolutely. It's a core part of Think and Act
Oh,
Locally.
sure.
And then he makes this really important point about blooming where you're planted.
I like that.
He says that often the best approach is to stay in or near your current community
Okay.
because you already understand the local climate,
You know the people.
right? You know the people, you know the resources.
Yeah. So even a relatively small move within the Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena area could connect you with different networks or different resources and enhance your resilience.
So you don't have to completely uproot your life
Right
to
on.
become more resilient.
Right.
You can start by strengthening what you already have right here.
Exactly.
And then, on the flip side of that, he does caution about what he calls hardship places. And he mentions things like coastal flooding,
Yeah.
which is something we definitely need to be aware of.
Absolutely.
But then he offers this really encouraging perspective, too.
What's that?
He says that all land has the potential to be improved.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Even seemingly less productive local spaces can be transformed with effort. So that could mean, supporting community gardens, supporting neighborhood greening projects.
Right.
There's always something we can do to make our local environment better.
And he's a big advocate for what he calls the proximity principle.
Okay.
He says, get close to where you want to be. So not necessarily rushing to buy property, but spending time in the area, building relationships, understanding what's available.
Soaking it all in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Don't be in a hurry.
Right.
These things take time.
And I think that's a great principle to apply to becoming more involved in our local community too.
Absolutely.
Don't feel like you have to jump in and do everything at once.
Right.
Just start by volunteering, connecting with local groups, understanding the existing landscape before making those big changes. All right, so let's talk about managing resources.
Okay.
Because he had some advice here that might seem a bit counterintuitive at first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he starts off by saying buy as little as possible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he says that a common mistake people make is investing too much in land and buildings initially,
Oh, okay.
which can leave them short of funds for other essential needs.
So it's about prioritizing
Right.
and making sure you have enough resources for everything.
Exactly. And I think that's a really valuable point, even if we're not all buying land.
It's about being smart with our money and our resources in general.
Right.
Avoiding overspending on big projects or possessions right out of the gate and focusing on what's truly functional,
I like that.
whether it's for our homes or for community projects.
And he also advises against overbuilding.
Okay.
He says function should come before elaborate design.
Keep it simple.
Exactly. Whether
Yeah.
you're setting up your backyard or starting a community initiative, start simply and expand based on what you actually need.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
Right.
Okay. And then he highlights the importance of diversity, encouraging a variety of local initiatives, things like sharing food sharing skills, building those neighborhood support networks
Yeah.
right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, Pasadena.
And one point that really resonated with me was the importance of neighbors.
Yeah.
He stresses getting to know the people around you and
Yeah.
building those local relationships for mutual support.
Because at the end of the day, that's what a strong and resilient local community is all about, right?
Right. Absolutely.
It's about knowing the people who live next door to you.
Right.
So think about your own street.
Yeah.
How well do you know the folks who live right next door?
Good question.
Okay, let's move on to landscape design principles.
All right.
Now, this might seem like it's only relevant to farmers or gardeners, but I think there are some really great takeaways here for all of us.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So the first thing he talks about is access, making sure that things are easily reachable,
Okay.
whether it's a community garden, a shared workspace,
Okay.
local resources, whatever it is.
So it's about accessibility.
Exactly. It's about making our local environment more user-friendly.
Yeah, I like that.
And then he talks about having a central point,
Okay.
a hub for your activities or your community efforts.
So that could be a physical place?
Yeah, it could be a community center, a
Right.
park, or it could even be a well-connected person.
Oh, okay. Someone who brings people together.
Exactly.
And then he brings up water management. Now, obviously, his examples are focused on, ponds and rainwater collection on a farm.
Right, he's a farmer.
Yeah. But the core idea of using water responsibly, that applies to all of us.
Especially here in Southeast Texas,
Absolutely.
we know how precious water is.
Yeah. So even in our homes, we could be thinking about things like rain barrels, efficient watering.
Right, those small changes can make a big difference. He also talks about control,
Okay.
which means clearly defining the boundaries and the responsibilities for different activities.
Okay.
So whether it's a garden plot or a community project,
Right.
making sure that everyone knows who's doing what and what the expectations are.
So it's about accountability and organization.
Exactly.
And I think that's really important for local initiatives to be successful.
Oh, absolutely.
And then finally, he suggests starting with temporary structures.
Okay.
So flexible solutions that can be adjusted based on what you learn.
Like pilot projects, trial programs, you know?
Exactly.
Don't be afraid to experiment and see what works. Okay, so now let's talk about what to grow.
All right.
And this is where he gives some advice that I think is really applicable to all areas of life.
Okay, I'm listening.
He says, feed yourself first,
Interesting.
address your own needs, and then think about how you can contribute to the wider community.
So it's about taking care of yourself first
Right.
before you can really help others.
Exactly. And for us here in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, that could mean, you know, developing local skills, sharing resources, starting initiatives that directly improve our lives and the lives of our neighbors.
Right.
He also emphasizes mutual interdependence, recognizing that we can't do everything on our own.
Right.
We need each other.
And that's where those local networks and those supporting relationships come in.
Absolutely.
We can leverage each other's strengths here in our community.
Exactly.
And he advises taking small steps with local projects.
You know, don't try to boil the ocean.
Right.
Just focus on one thing at a time.
One step at a time.
Exactly. And he stresses the importance of getting the infrastructure in place, you know, the basic systems, the connections before you launch into those big initiatives. So, thinking about our local environment here in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena, he encourages us to create diverse and resilient local spaces. So, integrating green areas with our built environment, thinking about local water features, even small ones, preserving natural spaces.
And he also points out the value of understanding and using microclimates.
Oh,
So the
yeah.
small variations in climate that exist within our local area,
Right.
using those to our advantage.
Like finding the sunny spots for those community gardens
That's
or the
right.
sheltered areas for those outdoor gatherings.
And he encourages us to really observe and learn from our local environment.
To understand its natural patterns,
Right.
to work with them rather than trying to force something that doesn't fit.
When it comes to infrastructure, he's all about practicality over fancy design.
Keep it functional.
It's exactly, especially at the beginning.
And he suggests thinking about mobile and adaptable solutions for local needs.
Okay.
So things like shared tool libraries, portable equipment, you know, things that can be moved around and used in different places.
That makes a lot of sense.
And then he brings up what he calls nature's sanitation,
Okay.
which is all about sustainable ways to manage waste and keep our local environment healthy. So things like composting community cleanup efforts.
Right, taking care of our local ecosystem.
Absolutely.
Now, when he talks about soil health, his examples are obviously about farming. But the basic principle of the carbon cycle is relevant to our local green spaces too.
Okay.
So he suggests using local materials
Okay.
like wood chips for composting and improving the soil in our home gardens or our community projects.
All right, so let's wrap up with some of his broader points, because I think these are some really key takeaways for us here in Deer Park, La Porte, Pasadena.
I'm all ears.
So he suggests starting with initiatives that have broad local appeal, things that are easy to get going.
So low barriers to entry.
Exactly. And he encourages learning by doing and sharing that knowledge within our communities.
Right, so it's about experimentation, collaboration.
Absolutely. And when you're promoting local efforts, he emphasizes making sure that they're relatable and trustworthy to the people in the community.
Build that trust.
Yeah.
Make those connections.
Exactly.
So when it comes to scaling up our local impact, he suggests focusing on replicating successful small projects throughout the community.
So instead of trying to create one big centralized organization,
Right.
it's about those smaller, more distributed efforts.
Exactly.
And then he applies those ideas of being mobile, adaptable, and actively managed to local community building, emphasizing flexible initiatives that encourage local participation.
Right, keep it grassroots.
Exactly. And he stresses using the resources we already have in the community.
Sharing tools, sharing skills, sharing spaces.
Exactly.
And he also touches on land in our local context, suggesting we think about sharing local spaces.
Okay.
So, community gardens on underused land,
Right?
agreements between neighbors to share resources.
I like that.
And for the people involved in these local projects,
Yeah.
he suggests that involvement could be based on what people can contribute and what they directly benefit from.
And a shared harvest from a community garden.
Exactly.
That's a great example.
Yeah. So it's about finding those win-win situations.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about actually building community
Okay.
because this is where it all comes together.
Right.
He stresses the importance of connecting with people who live near you.
Your neighbors.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically people who have practical skills.
Okay.
People who can grow food, build things, fix things.
Those are valuable skills.
Yeah. Those are the people who can form the foundation of a strong local network.
Absolutely. And he highlights the value of sharing resources,
mm-hmm.
even things like marketing skills.
Right.
And helping each other learn new things within those local groups.
It's about cross-training and knowledge sharing.
Exactly. And he notes that having a variety of talents within a community is key to being resilient.
Makes sense.
Right. Because no one person can do it all.
Exactly.
All right. So now we're getting to the heart of it.
Okay.
Doing something now.
Right here. Right now.
That's what it's all about.
He suggests a simple test.
Okay.
Are you actively trying to improve your immediate surroundings?
Your home, your neighborhood.
Right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, or Pasadena.
So even those small actions
mm-hmm.
show that you're ready for more local involvement.
You're putting those ideas into practice.
Exactly. So what are you doing right now to become more self-reliant and community-minded?
That's the question.
Yeah.
And he encourages us to try out those small local projects.
Mm-hmm.
Discover what you're passionate about, what skills you have.
It's about exploring and experimenting.
Exactly.
And he makes a really strong point that taking care of yourself in your home is the first step towards being able to engage with your community.
Yeah, you got to have your own house in order before you can start helping others.
Exactly.
And he suggests offering your time and effort to local mentors or initiatives,
mm-hmm.
no matter what they're focused on.
Just get involved.
Right.
And he encourages us to learn more about our local area.
By reading the local news. Going to local events.
Yeah, just immersing yourself in your community.
Exactly.
Okay, so finally he talks about getting ready for local collaborations.
Mm-hmm.
And he emphasizes the need to agree on goals.
Okay.
Within households and local groups that are starting projects.
So get everyone on the same page.
Yeah, have that shared vision.
And he also talks about the potential for disagreements within those groups.
Right, because people are going to have different ideas.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Yeah, it's about finding ways to work together. Despite those differences.
And creating a shared vision for a thriving local community.
Right. What do we want our community to look like?
And he advises starting small,
mm-hmm.
not spending a lot of money on those local initiatives at first.
Just get the ball rolling.
Exactly. And he suggests creating a simple mission statement for your local involvement.
Huh?
Something that connects with your personal values and your long-term hopes for Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
So it's about defining your purpose.
Exactly. And he ends with this really inspiring thought.
I love it when he does that.
Me too.
What is it?
He encourages us to dream about a better Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Oh, wow.
To imagine what's possible without being limited by how things are right now.
So it's about thinking big.
Yeah.
And letting those dreams be the starting point for action.
Absolutely.
So as we kind of come to the end of this deep dive into Joel Saladin's ideas,
mm-hmm.
it's clear that even though he comes from a background in farming,
right.
the principles he shared about building resilience, strengthening community, and taking action locally.
They're incredibly valuable for us right here.
Absolutely, no matter where we live or what we do.
And I think the practical ideas he shared about being resourceful,
right.
connecting with our neighbors, taking small, manageable steps,
right.
working together towards that shared vision.
Those are all things we can start doing today.
To make a real difference right here in our community.
Yeah.
So here's a final thought for you.
Yeah.
What is one small thing you can do this week?
Right.
To think and act locally
mm-hmm.
and help build a more resilient and thriving Deer Park, LaPorte, or Pasadena.
Think about Saladin's encouragement to dream.
Yeah.
And how you can apply that right here in our local context.
If you found value in this deep dive and want to support our mission of empowering local impact in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, please visit thinkandactlocally.com/donate.
You can find the link in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Take care.
Okay.
We're good.
We did it.
Awesome. Yeah,
that was a good one.
Yeah, I think so too.
People are going to love that.
I hope so.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
See you later.
Take care.
Bye.